You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
From Cabernet to Monet, they're here to slay the art history babes.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Corey.
I'm Jen.
I'm Ginny, and we are the art history babes.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, we are. Clink. I just felt like clinking right
clink,
now.
Clinking. You know,
we never clink.
Oh, clink.
Cheers.
Salute.
We are cheersing right now because we decided that Thursday is Friday, basically, and we're just going to we're just going to have a fun weekend, you know.
We deserve it.
We don't have time for a fun weekend at all, but we're going to
do it.
Do it, and we're going to have a good time.
Also,
we're gonna have a good time. I know you're about to say something, but I just need to tell you that I saw a guy on campus
wearing a sweater.
He was wearing a shirt or a sweater, and it said, "Have a good time."
Yes.
And I wanted to take a picture of him, but
he was a tall Asian guy,
and he was wearing like headphones, and I was like, I wanted to ask him. I was
it
like,
it looks like
sticking
he made
out.
The sweatshirt too.
I know,
and
it was
like,
sort of,
have you listened to the art history tips?
It was sort of.
He's our biggest fan, and like doesn't even know.
I felt like it was in this sort of old timier looking font.
It was
like
in like
a little
gothic,
bit of a old timier font. But anyway, someone out there is wearing a sweater that says "Have a good time," and if you know where to get that sweater, I kind of want one.
I think we should just make our own.
I think we'll just make one.
Did you say that
in? I wish I could remember.
Yeah.
It was such a
Yoko
natural
ono,
thing.
Maybe?
You know what? You're probably right. You're probably
Artemisia Gentileschi.
Artemisia.
Oh, that was one
it
of the
might
first
have
ones.
Been.
It was a long time
it
ago.
It might have been that.
Yeah.
Something, it just naturally came out. It was like, have a good time. And it like had the vocal fry and everything. And
now it just, it's a perfect way. It's the perfect way to just exit a situation.
Have a good time.
Just like, that's really the message that we want to send to you all when we sign off. Have a good time.
Just have
whatever
a good
that means to
time.
You. Just have
I hope
a good
you're
time.
Having a good time.
Definitely. Speaking of having a good time, we are recording on the most holiest of holidays.
Oh.
420 blazer.
420.
Oh my god.
I saw this really hilarious post today. It was on Instagram, and it was just a guy sticking his head through like beads, and it said, "Guys,
I like it already."
It was like, "Guys sticking his head through like beaded curtain tells you about what 420 really means," and it was perfect because we've all been there. So I really don't care what this day means at all. But I mean, here it is. Guy poking head through beaded curtain can tell you exactly why it's called 420.
Oh my God.
Wasn't it started by like some like college kids or something?
I
like,
guess so.
And it just took off.
And then some crazy shit came out that it had something to do with like Nazis, because they were like, it's Hitler's birthday. And I was like,
Is it Hitler's birthday?
I don't know. I'll look it up.
Yeah, look it up. Find that out.
I don't know if it is, but like,
what's cool though?
Who cares?
I just
blaze it.
Blaze it. I just put this together though.
Oh,
yesterday.
Shit. It is his birthday.
Is it really?
Oh, dang it.
Yeah, fuck that.
Fuck you, Hitler.
That's not good. That's not good at all. Who did that? That's not good.
But it's not about Hitler.
It's not.
It's about blaze it.
Yeah, exactly. But also, fun fact, yesterday, April 19th, is Bicycle Day, which is the day in which LSD was invented in, I want to say, 1934.
Oh.
1930s. So it was either 1934 or 1939,
this
I think.
This is such a cool story.
It is.
That you're about to tell.
The dude that invented LSD, he was just like a chemist, and he was not trying to invent LSD. He was just doing stuff with chemicals, and it got in his system somehow. Like, he magically invented it, and then it got in his system, because when you're working with chemicals, shit gets on your hands, shit gets everywhere.
It does.
And it got into his system. Yeah. He went for a fucking bike ride, and he had the first LSD trip. So it's called Bicycle Day. And yeah, it's April 19th, so we've got...
What year was this that he did this?
Was it like 1990s?
I'm asking because, okay, because I was envisioning him being on one of those really old bikes with a big-ass front wheel.
Yeah.
Those,
no, no, I don't think it was one of those, it was
the 30s.
That's disappointing to my imagination, but it's fine.
Because I think it was 34, and that was the year my grandma was born. So, like, it was a minute ago. Because people...
Psychedelic.
People don't seem... Like, people don't realize that LSD was out there in, like, the 30s and 40s. It just didn't really hit the scene until the 60s.
Dude, yeah. Did you know that the guy, the same guy who got high on his bike when he synthesized LSD, he got, like, stupid crazy high.
Yeah.
He got dumb high.
Because he had, like, mega dosages.
Yeah. Like, they had no idea how strong this shit was. Ooh. So he was, like, on another planet completely. Speaking of... the way LSD just kind of gets in you. There's a great documentary on Netflix that both Corey and I watched. And what was it called again? The Sunshine Makers.
Y'all need to check it out. It's really interesting. It's about these...
So good.
Basically, these two dudes that were responsible for the majority of acid production in the 60s.
Like, they made that good acid. They that, like, synthesized.
Exactly.
Pure stuff.
They made the 60s happen, basically, because they were all like, this is going to change the world.
And it did.
It's cool, too, because now they're, like, old dudes and, like...
Eccentric as fuck.
Yeah, but they're great. They're really great. And, like, one of them is still, like, living the message. He still thinks LSD is going to change the world. And then the other one's like, I mean, I still think LSD is great, but I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. It's great. I don't want to spoil. There's so many good little moments in that where I'm like, oh, I love these guys and I love everything about it. But there's the one part, the reason I mention it is because they made their own sort of like guerrilla lab to synthesize this shit. And they talk about how they were just high all the time. Like, they were just tripping, like, low-grade tripping most of the time. And I think that was, like, kind of the beginnings of this idea of microdosing.
Oh, definitely.
Because they were working on synthesizing this, like, super pure acid that was, what was it called? Orange sunshine. And so, because nothing's perfect in a lab, and I would know because I work in a lab. I work in a lab, and you can wear gloves as much as you want, but, you know, stuff still gets through. And so, they were just kind of getting micro high all the time. And I want to talk to someone who works in, you know... what is it? Like, just the tech world. Like, I feel
it's... There's tech Silicon people. Valley, it is... It is such a thing. Microdosing in Silicon Valley is like, I don't know, just to think outside the box. It helps their creativity.
Yeah, I wish I could get on that hype.
It's what it sounds like. It's micro. It's to where it just gives you like all of those little feelings and all those little like, you know, your third eyes opening up, like all of those
vibes. Your third eyes, like, not all the way open. It's just sort of like waking up, like, oh, what? Like, fuck, what time is it? Your third eye is like kind of hungover and is like, oh man, did I post stuff on Snapchat? Oh,
just peeking through that third eye. So drugs. That's what we celebrate at the end of April for some reason.
I guess so.
Why not?
Spring is starting, you know, weather's getting warmer. It's festival season apparently.
Yes, so
y'all is out there at Coachella. I don't know.
Dude, we need to try. Okay, so I have personally never had a huge interest in going to Coachella because it's just everyone's fucking there. However, the art is dope at Coachella.
Man.
Like, it is currently Coachella Music and Arts Festival.
Yeah.
And the art there is, like, real good. And, like, there's a whole Instagram for Desert X, which is, like, the art installation portion of Coachella, and it's just so fucking sick. And I think it would be really fun and cool if we, like, covered it next year. Like, I feel like that would be, like, a good thing, because it's cool shit. And it's also, like, a lot of people that wouldn't normally experience art, like, they're at Coachella, because it's the thing to do,
right.
And then they get to interact with all this really cool visual material.
Yeah, it seems like it's a Burning Man, like, you know, Junior. Burning Man Junior.
More like... Yeah, and, like, I know most of what I see about Coachella are, like, the fashion trends where they're, like Native American headdresses and, like, white supermodels.
Unabashedly appropriating corporate
culture. And, like, doily tops. But, like, if we go, I'll just probably wear what I'm wearing right now, which is a baseball cap and a flannel, because I would just be there to look at the art.
Ginny looks like Luke Danes from Gilmore Girls right now. That's true. And it's hella
she
cute.
She looks amazing.
Yeah, she looks like a hella cute Luke Danes. Like,
thank you.
Oof.
Yeah, it's super cute.
Yeah, I mean, I hate that I am just such a cynical person, because I feel like I'd be at Coachella like,
you guys, we'd have hella fun. If we went together, we would have, who gives a shit?
You're
We would have a good time.
I take myself too seriously.
It'd be fun, and regardless, like, everyone plays at Coachella. Like, I'm actually super jealous because the only tour dates right now that Kendrick Lamar has are fucking Coachella. Like, and I'm like,
damn.
And exactly. He just dropped Damn, and it's gonna be, like, fire. It's gonna be amazing, and, like, all those Coachella peeps get to, like, experience that. Yeah. So, there's so, everyone goes to Coachella. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where I totally get it, but at the same time, like, anyone can find, I think, their niche, their group, their thing at Coachella.
You know? You're probably right. You're probably right. And I think it would be a good thing to do at least once. Just, like, I want to go to Burning Man one day.
Oh, hell yeah.
Even though I feel like I have nothing in common with people who go to Burning Man. I'm like, cool, you're out here, like, kind of naked.
I want to straight up cover, like, Burning Man ephemeral art, because they just, like...
And we will.
They make the coolest shit, and then they burn that shit to the ground. Dude. It's so cool.
You know, and once again, I think I'm just being a cynical shit talker, because it's probably hella cool, and I'm just like, whatever.
Dude, I do the same thing. I do the same thing.
I don't know, I have a weird, like, I dig festy culture, and I just, like, and I like that festivals all have their own personality, so I kind of want to, like, experience as many of them as I can to, like, get the different personalities of as many as I can.
I'm going to a metal festival tomorrow.
That's dope.
Yeah, you are.
That's cool.
I'm only going to be there for one day, but they're having a metal festival out in Tahoe. So if any of our Art History Babes listeners are at Spring Meltdown at Lake Tahoe. Actually, why am I even saying this? You're not going to hear this episode. You're not going to hear this for a little while. So
never mind.
Just
if you were there, you know what? Have you had fun?
If you were there and you thought you saw me, it was me.
But yeah, anyway, so we're doing kind of something different. We're doing a little, like, kind of bonus episode today, mostly because we are hella stressed out of our theses and
we don't
really have time to do extra research right now. But also we got this request from a listener named Hillary, asking if we could do a show about being art history students. And she brought up that, like, she's a young aspiring art historian, and she was like, I'm sure there are plenty of other young aspiring art historians that listen to you guys that feel apprehensive about pursuing the degree, especially in our economic and political climate. I would love to hear about your experiences, what grad school is like, where you plan to take your education, Excedrin.
We got them tension headaches.
Dude,
too real.
Dude, in high school, I took Excedrin, like, every day of my life.
Whoa, baby.
I know.
Why were you that stressed out in high school?
Because I had dance practice every day at 6 in the morning.
Damn.
And Excedrin has caffeine in it. So I was, like, popping Excedrin, and then I got to a certain age, I was like, this is fucking my liver up. Like, I haven't touched Excedrin or acetaminophen in years and years to try and, like, make up for it. But I was taking that shit every day. Don't do that.
That's a lesson number one about being an art history student. Do not take Excedrin every day.
Yeah, if you're,
drink a glass of wine. Do that.
I feel like it was, honestly, though, I feel like I was low key, like, I was being, like, a high school dancer, like, prepping myself for the dance world, even though I didn't, like, go that direction. Because in the, like, dance world, people just do, like, mad coke and then practice choreography all night long.
I believe it.
That's a real thing.
I've heard that about the dance world.
Yeah, dude, so I was just doing that, like, low-key 15-year-old style.
I think that's what they left out of Black Swan. I think Natalie Portman's character was just coked out and paranoid.
Yeah.
I think she was just...
Well, because you need because it's so much physical exertion, you need something to keep you going. And also, the dance community, it's getting better, but unfortunately for a long time, the dance community, it fosters eating disorders. Right. So it's like, you can't be eating food, so you just do cocaine. Anyway.
We are going off on the weirdest drug tangents tonight.
We are.
And, like, you know what's great is I feel like our listeners are really going to get to know us tonight, and I am just really glad.
If they didn't already.
If you're listening right now, I feel like we're going to have a really intimate conversation tonight.
I think so, too.
I just hope.
Pull up a seat with us,
just,
if you will.
Get cozy. Get nice and warm on the couch and have an intimate conversation with us.
So where were we?
Email. Before we finish, though, I also want to just be like, I'm not trying to talk mad shit about the dance world because it means, like, the world to me. It's very, very close to my heart.
Dance is life.
Yeah.
Dance is, it's been weaved throughout the fabrics of all of our lives. Me and River Dance, Michael Flatley.
Yeah.
He was the fastest footed man in the world at the time.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about being art history students tonight. It's going to be very free form, but hopefully we can give you an idea at least of our experiences and what maybe you can expect to experience if this is a field you're looking at going into. I think we're going to kind of break it up a little bit. First half here, we're going to talk about undergrad.
Ah, the golden years.
The golden years. Coming out of high school, just doughy-eyed, like, ready to do it.
Hillary, thank you for your email because this is going to be fun to talk about. I had no idea I was going to be an art historian. When I graduated from high school, I had this whole plan to go to a four-year college, and bless my parents, you know, they tried, and they made some, like, bad investments, and so the money that they thought they were going to make was gone, and so I had no money to go to school, and I got these random scholarships. I got a scholarship for, like, just being Latina, and I was the only person who applied, and I was like, cool. And it was a small scholarship. It was a couple hundred dollars, and so I decided, like, bless you.
Bless you.
Thousand pardons.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah, I decided to just go to community college, and I explored so many options.
You definitely save money that way, if nothing else.
Gosh, you know, if you're that young listening to us, go to community college. You'll be fine.
At least for, like, a year.
Yeah.
Knock out some gen eds.
Exactly. Like, don't pay that top dollar for GE credits. That's ridiculous.
And coming in your sophomore year is the same as your freshman year. Like, it's the same vibe.
Sure,
yeah.
I felt it's like the same person thing, my freshman year versus my sophomore year.
You're going to be hanging out with the same people, the same amount of partying.
Totally.
It's fine.
And who knows? It might just completely change your mind about whatever you thought you wanted to do. Because I went into college thinking that I was going to be a political science major. And that I was going to one day be a lawyer. And I just had this whole, like, plan. Like, I'm going to be a lawyer. And I'm going
to
represent the little man. And I had all these ideas. And then I went to community college. And I was like, yo, poli sci sucks. You know? And I just didn't have a good time. But I had this amazing art history professor, and she introduced me to the artist that I'm writing my thesis on now, and she introduced us to, like, Sydney Sherman and, like, Yoko Ono, and I already knew about Yoko, but I didn't really know about her art, and was like, what? And so I just had such an eye-opening experience of her, and so I knew when I transferred, and I transferred as a junior, which was rough. Like, because I felt all this pressure, like, I needed to hurry up and finish school in 2 years. You don't need to do that. That's just be in more debt. It's fine. Like, you're going to be in debt anyway. but I don't know. I went right into art history and I had a great time.
I really
did have a great time.
Yeah, for me, it's actually interesting because it's something that was, like, a part of me from a very, like definitely high school. I took an art appreciation class. I took a lot of art classes, too.
Same.
But I took an art appreciation class, and I loved the shit out of it. Like, one of my favorite classes in undergrad, or not undergrad, high school. And the funny thing is, like, not trying to, like, talk smack or anything, but the teacher wasn't that good. So, like, it was, yeah. like, the material was interesting, and it just, like, kind of made me come alive in a weird way. And, like, I really enjoyed it. And so art was always very important to me. And I went to college being like, okay, I like art. Like, art seems like a good thing. And I went to college when I got into my freshman year, I was a design major. Because I was kind of doing that whole, I'm trying to do, like, I'm trying to be responsible, like, you know, and design, you make money in design and whatever. And I actually had a great time. I experienced a lot. It was also crazy hard. So it was in a really good design program. And it was, like, a lot of work. And I wouldn't change it for the world. It was, like, the right thing for me. But I did that, and then I was like, well, maybe I'll be an art teacher, and I was, like, going to go into art education, and then I was like, well, maybe I'll do nonprofit management, maybe I'll do sociology, maybe, like, and then I just, like, I don't know, I want, yeah, kind of similar, like, I just wanted to, like, help the little guy, I wanted to, like, do something that was, like, going to make me feel like I was, like, some kind of fucking savior or something. And, like, and then
we'll save the world.
Exactly. I was just looking for meaning, like, so hard. And so I did that for a while. And then I, in the end, towards the end of undergrad, I ended up coming back to art history. I actually only got my minor in art history in undergrad. I didn't do a major. And that's because I didn't have a major at my undergrad. But I ended up coming back to it, and it was, like, it made me so happy. And I remember talking to one of my closest friends, like, and this is my fifth year in undergrad, and I was like, yeah, I'm doing art history now. He's like, so you're doing exactly what you started doing. And I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So at least for me, I'm one of those situations where it was always there. I felt it. It's what I needed to be doing, and I just ignored it. And in the end, I ended up doing it anyways.
Yeah.
So if it is there, like, if you feel that kind of passion about art at a young age, like, don't pretend like it's nothing would be, like, my biggest thing. Because that's where I ended up back at anyways.
Yeah.
And I needed to take my little detour, but, like, don't ignore that, like, desire to do something with art, because there is plenty to do with art. Like, it's, you know, it's obviously not as surefire of a thing as, like, going to, like, Wall Street or banking or something like that.
Well, even that's not as surefire.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, that is so real, and I feel like all of us can say that when we were very, very young, art, you know, art in quotation marks, like, that really meant a lot to us, and it was there, and it was a part of our upbringing. Like, I know that I grew up with a dad who was, like, super into, like, Diego Rivera and Frida Kahlo and, like, all of the Mesoamerican, like, artifacts. We had all kinds of stuff all over our house that was, like, you know, pseudo-Aztec, you know, because my parents are Mexican, and we had a lot of art, and I always grew up with it, and my dad was always kind of radical, and he would give me just crazy books, and so I have these huge books of, like, oh, this is from the, like, archaeology museum in Mexico City, or, like, these books showing images out of, like, Aztec codices, and I was like, whoa, human sacrifice, and I was, like, a little ass kid, you know, and I think I feel like if you grow up with art, that's a good way to know if you're gonna like working in the art field or not. And so I don't know. I would, I don't think either, I don't think any of us didn't grow up with art.
See, I didn't grow up
with
art.
Are you serious?
That's what, like,
technically
I feel like,
didn't.
Yeah, I feel like I've
either.
Said that Whoa. On here plenty of times. I didn't, I mean, my
I
mom.
I must have just not been paying attention because you just blew my fucking mind.
I mean, I feel like I would go to museums and I loved going to museums, but art was never really, like, promoted to me.
Yeah, exactly. Like, my mom is, like, she had a photography phase. I remember in, like, middle school, she had, like, an M.C. Escher book that was dope, but that's kind of the extent of it. I was not presented with art. My family, actually, like, a lot of people in my family are musicians, which, you know, and I have a huge love for music, and I was brought up
same.
With a lot of music, and I'm so grateful for that.
Same.
But visual art was not something that was,
wow. It was, like, history was very emphasized, and that's probably more where, like, me going to museums came in a lot. Like, both my parents were very historically, like, knowledgeable, and it still are, obviously. But, for me, I, like, looking back, it totally made sense that I've ended up where I ended up, but I didn't understand art history as a concept, let alone a discipline until I was a freshman in college. Yeah, that it was even a thing. Yeah.
No, I guess, like, for me, it's more, it was something that when I was in my, like, formative years, when I was in high school, it literally, like, happened to me. I was like, this makes me feel something on, like, a very visceral level. It definitely, it was not... That's prepped amazing. For this, like, in any way. So I think in terms of undergrad art history type stuff, like, I would say play around. Like, you can take art history classes and you can be in the arts, but, like, you can also explore other fields. And I think in the end, if you end up in art history, it's going to make you better at it. Because you understand, because the thing about art history as an academic discipline is it does get kind of, as we've talked about so many times, it gets kind of stuffy and it gets very like, there's a very regimented way of doing things sometimes. So I think it's really good for like to keep to do that and learn as much as you can, but you know, take actual art classes or take other humanities classes. Definitely. Like, explore other stuff because that makes your art history skills that much better.
Yeah,
it does. I mean, especially because, like, at this point with, like, our own research, we don't just look at art books, art history books.
Hell
like,
no.
We tap into, like, foreign language and theology and philosophy and history and,
sociology, psychology.
Yeah, anthropology. And and that's the cool thing about art history as it is now, and I think it's becoming more and more emphasized in that it's one of the more interdisciplinary fields that you can get into, especially the further along you go into it. Like, it's so much more than just being like, this is when this painting was commissioned. This is the prince that commissioned it.
Dude, that is so real, because I feel like there is not any art historian out there who has that title, art historian, who is grounded in literally just the history of an art artifact or whatever. Right. Like, you can't be an art historian without being, like, a junior archaeologist.
Being, like,
an anthropologist, a sociologist, like, someone versed in theory.
Because at the end of the day, what art history is, and what's so, it's such a common misconception, what so many people don't understand, is it's, like, we just look at human creations and we try to make sense of them in, like, a cultural, historical, social, personal
psychological
context. It's like, so you can come at that from literally a billion different ways. It's like, we, to me anyways, and I think increasingly, like, being an art historian is being a someone who studies visual materials and makes sense out of that, and that is, like, everything, you know? Yeah. So there's so much to it, and so if it is something you love, don't pigeonhole yourself.
Yeah. Nat's here.
Nat made it.
Oh, so one of our babes just made it. There's gonna be a lot of noise for a second.
Nat's here.
Natalie's so here.
Now, like, the loudest.
So loud. Oh man, I'm getting, like, excited talking about the virtues of an art historical education.
Hello, listeners.
Nat's here.
Nat made it.
What were we saying?
Okay, so we're still kind of talking about undergraduate experiences in art history a little, and, like, how we navigated that. I don't know if you have anything.
How we got to say one day in our undergrads, I want to study art history.
Mine was kind of in my first art history class just because I loved my professor.
Yeah.
Like, I loved her. And I still keep in touch with her. She was the head of the department, so she became my advisor. And she helped me get an internship at a gallery, and I helped her curate an exhibition in San Francisco. Like, I love her. And she just made me laugh and was so smart. And it's cool to see powerful, intelligent women. So that was kind of my first introduction to art history. And I immediately fell in love.
And yeah.
Didn't have many professors because it was such a small department.
Same.
So
yeah.
Grew attached to all of them. And
right.
Mostly women. And was kind of just like, wow, what a badass group of women, and I knew I loved art, so.
Oh my god, you just touched on something that I think we're gonna get more into in our second half of this episode, but art history departments the estrogen. And like the estrogen levels.
Yeah, so much estrogen.
Oh baby. It gets rough. I really appreciate the men, you know, mm-hmm. and we'll talk about this more, but even in undergrad, like, and I'm speaking from a TA's perspective, because to be honest, I'm just going to be really, really honest.
Jen's just getting real honest.
I'm going to get so honest. when I was in undergrad, getting my degree in art history, I was doing pretty well. Like, I will say that I had A's and I wrote good papers and I was having a good time. But I was also working all the time and I also smoked a lot of weed. Yeah. So I don't remember a whole lot. But I mean, I remember what I learned, obviously, but I don't remember sort of like my social interactions that much because I didn't really talk to a lot of people. I showed up to school and then I would leave and go to work.
Yeah.
And yeah. I really didn't make friends with a lot of people and I didn't really pay attention to the department very much. Mm-hmm. But now as a TA, I really, really enjoy my male students. I enjoy my male students because for some reason, art history has become a female-dominated field, and that's great. I think that's amazing.
And I mean, I will say I feel like it's somewhat female-dominated, at least in our kind of orbit, but I'm pretty sure that East Coast, it's like this still everywhere,
but we are in the West.
Well, and yeah. that's the thing. It's super, like, yeah, like, there's a lot of females in the field, but it used to be all white males. Like, that's all it was.
Yeah.
And it was like, and it just flipped.
And I just think that this is a good time to be an art historian is because there's a lot of interesting sort of changes in the field. The field is in the midst of a radical change.
We are on a precipice.
I think it's great, and I really enjoy that. And so I want to say, personally, I've had really good experiences. I had this one student in the fall that just, like, made me so happy. He was like, I'm a freshman. I don't know what I'm even thinking about studying. You know, he told me this. He was like, I don't even know exactly what I want to do. But, you know, after having taken this class, and it was an ancient Mediterranean class, like a survey class. And he was like, you know, after having taken this class, I just had such a good time and I just really enjoyed all of the material and I think I want to major in art history. Who knows if he changed his major by now? Mm-hmm. He was a freshman, but I was really, really glad because in our program we have one man.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even an art history major. He was an anomaly. Like the fact that we even got a male like grad student there was a buzz in the department. And so what I'm getting at is that I hope that art history isn't turning into one of those fields that's relegated to being somewhat of a feminine field, because not that that's bad, but I feel like it's been talked about in the sense that, oh, men are doing more majors in the sciences and in engineering and these sort of more like lucrative majors. And I don't like that.
Yeah, because the thing is, okay, so this big idea that you're articulating here is that there is this stereotype that's happening about it being like, yeah, a feminine field, because there's this idea that it's just what, like, housewives do with their free time. Like,
yeah, your movie that you like, what was, shit,
Mona Lisa Smile?
Yeah. Which kind of addressed that in a critical semi-critical way. Like, they pose a lot of different options. But that was a big one in that was...
Yeah, and that's, I mean...
That relationship.
That's a very real stereotype right now. It's that it's just something that women do.
Something
girls do because they just, like, need to pick something. And it's, like, super annoying.
And that condescending question when people go... So what are you going to do with that?
Oh my God. But if someone asked me that again,
I've had so many doctors ask me that over the years, and I'm like, you know what? Just look at my body and do what you need to do for my body.
Look at my body.
Stay in your lane.
I'll do my art history
thing.
Stay
in your lane.
You do your body.
Exactly. Stay in your
lane. One of our like favorite professors, she's our graduate advisor, she actually said this in a class that she was teaching one time where she was like, because she very much wants, like, more people to be interested in art history. Even if you are, like, a science major, like, take an art history class.
And she should know because she went to MIT.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Sure she understands it more than anyone, that kind of...
Having to justify it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she said something to the class. She was like, great thing about art history, you're never going to get bored. She's like, I know a lot of surgeons. I'm friends with a lot of surgeons. They are so bored.
Or, yeah, and same, I thought you were going to talk about one time, she was like, when people ask you what you can do with art history, you say anything I want.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's the answer.
That's
like,
the beauty of it.
Want.
And that's, like, how I landed on it is because, like, I'm a hardcore wonder junkie. Like, I'm obsessed with – I want to learn everything. Mm-hmm. Like, you could give me just, like, any documentary on anything, and I'll be, like, totally jazzed about it. Like, I'm just – really into learning shit, and art history allows for you to go so many places.
Yeah.
Like, so many places.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Just today, in the midst of my research, I found just a whole series of books that people, historians, have written on Tijuana Bibles. Tijuana Bibles are like the shitty name that Americans gave these just little, like, pamphlets of porn, like, cartoon porn that span from the, like, 1920s up until, like, the 60s. Mm. And for some fucking reason, they're called Tijuana Bibles. I guess because you can buy them in Tijuana? I don't know. I've never even been to Tijuana, but, like, I'm just saying, someone wrote a book about that. A book, like, a whole book on these little porns, mm-hmm. and, like,
little porns,
and how they, like, you know, like, use pop culture, like, cartoon figures, and turn them into porn. I mean, and someone wrote a whole book about that. You can write about whatever you want. Like, you can major in anything, like, in art history, like, whatever.
Everything you see and you look at really can fall under art history.
And then you can even take it a whole nother level because you can start arguing shit. Like, once you get into performance art, you can start arguing about, like, all kinds of stuff that isn't even visual being art. And then you can do
music falls under
anything.
Art history in a lot of, like, smaller programs. Like, music students or musicology, like, I'm fucking this up. But you guys know what I mean. Like, people who study the history of music fell under art history.
It's just, you can go so many places. And I do think, unfortunately, a lot of people don't take the opportunity that art history gives them, and, like, some people do really boring, like, work in art history. It's just a real thing. Like, there
so
are lots
real.
Of people.
As they do with any.
Exactly. There's a lot of fucking really boring art history work out there, and it's just like, okay, like, whatever. And unfortunately, that, like, has come to identify itself with what art history is, but it's like, especially where we are now at this shift, like, you can do so many interesting things with it.
Hence this podcast.
Yeah, right? Right? You get to, you can do creative shit with it.
I never would have guessed, like, once I, you know, declared my major in college and I was like, art history, I don't know what I'll do with this, but I do well in it and I need to get better grades. You know, which is also a valid thing. If you like art history and you're good at it, fucking do it, because it's nice to get good grades and that can apply to many other things in your life.
Like,
but if, like, time travel was a thing and someone were to find me in Oregon in 2010 and they said, hey, you're going to be on a podcast in
I'd
the year
like,
2016,
what?
17, I'd be like, no way. I mean, I didn't even really listen to podcasts back then, except for This American Life on long drives. But
it's so funny.
It's a classic,
I didn't even
so.
Like, you guys got me into podcasts. I, like, didn't listen to podcasts at all.
Wait, actually?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I just assumed
you were, like, born
no.
in a podcast.
No. Okay, wait.
Okay, so
we need to give, like, a history of what happened. All right?
I'm
no one...
so surprised by this.
Yeah.
So
you guys got me interested in podcasts.
That's unbelievable. I don't think that people know the story. Like, we all started together, and I'm just going to speak from personal experience. When we started the program, I went into this grad program being like, is it going to be cutthroat? Like, do I have to be, like, a bitch? You know, like, I
was freaking, I'm going to have to fuck some people up.
I was, like, freaking out because I just heard that, like, art history programs were so competitive.
And, well, just academia in general is hella toxic.
And so. I was thinking, like, I'm going to just be a lone wolf in a pack of bitches. And I was freaking out. And then I just, like, ended up... I know, this. I'm getting real, real. Real, real. But then I met, like, Jenny and Nat and Corey, and I actually met Corey first in all of our little, like, weird orientations that we went to, and we just kept seeing each other, and I was like, hey!
Yeah. we ran into each other, and I think it was, like, a library orientation.
Like two or three times. Yeah. I was like...
It's like, oh my god, you're here!
Yeah, every time I saw her, I was like, hey, girl! And, like, and then, I don't know, we all started, and it was, like, a couple of months into the program.
It was, like, a couple of weeks. Like,
was it a couple of weeks?
It was pretty quick, because I remember pretty quickly being like, I need to move to Davis, because I actually like these people.
Yeah.
That's what was in my mind. No, wasn't going to be bad, because I was like, well, I don't know if I'll, like, like it there.
I want to give props to Ginny for that, because I remember it was, like, 2 weeks in. And we had kind of clicked one time in the grad room.
Oh, yeah.
We had had, like, a moment.
We were talking about the moon.
Yeah. We were, yeah. We were talking about the, because it was the fucking, the blood moon triad.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
We started grad school around the blood moon triad. Yeah. And so, yeah. So we connected about the moon in the grad room. And then, like, that week, Ginny sent out a text and was like, you guys want to get some drinks? Like, let's all be friends.
And, like, and we did.
And then we became friends.
And then we just, like, started drinking together. And then
and
it
we
was
just never stopped.
We didn't stop. And then it was during a night of drinking and not, like, getting, like, blasted. Okay, we're classy art history babes and we drink wine and we have intellectual conversation.
And sometimes we get blasted.
And sometimes we get blasted.
They've heard. They know what it's
sometimes
like.
Sometimes someone will black out on Ginny's couch and not remember, like, half of the episode that we recorded that night.
That's okay. That episode was an interesting time
that
for
was a
us
doozy.
All.
But what I mean to say is that it was one of those nights where we were all hanging out and drinking wine. Corey said we should make a podcast, and then we were all drunk, and we were like, yeah! And then when we were sober, Corey was like, hey, wait, that was a really good idea, and we should do that. And then we did, and now here we are.
Yeah, I feel like you just said our, like, history that should be on anything we ever make. We were drunk, and we were like, yeah! And then Corey was like, no, but for real.
I want to make a comic strip about us.
That's really how it happened,
and
though.
And that will be our first.
No, that is how it happened. That's accurate.
I feel like, yeah, that's kind of how it went down.
I don't know. So, like, crazy things can happen. Like, you would never know.
Yeah.
And
I
now,
never thought.
10,000 fucking people listen to this shit.
Can't believe it.
It's nuts.
10,000 angels.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, you all are angels.
10,000 pootie.
For real.
Yeah.
Maybe we should take a quick break.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Holy hell. We've been going on for a while.
This is something. Okay.
This is a good episode.
We got a lot to say.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a sec.
Bye.
They're here to slay the art history babes.
We're back.
We're here.
Hi. Can you guys hear me over here? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're cool.
I think you're hearable.
Why is the mic closest to me? How does this always happen? I project.
It's a gravitational pull.
And it just ends up so close to me. All right, so we're back. We're talking about just, like, what it's like to be an art history student. We're also all kind of, we're all a little fucked up. But, oh, so this
mentally?
I'm getting there. I just got
out
of the car.
Oh,
I understand
what
in terms of
mean.
The amount of substances in our body right
we,
now.
We high, baby. We live.
Yes.
Just 420.
You have such a great way with words, man.
You really do.
That was perfect.
Thanks, guys.
So we're, this is very stream of consciousness. We're kind of free flowing this one, but I think you're getting a lot of raw, real information.
reading dark chocolate almonds
so
with
good.
Sea salt and turbinado sugar.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know
either, but it's, they're pretty good.
They're real good. But yeah, so we're just talking about our experiences, and the whole moving forward with art history, because we know it is a very, like, hard decision for a lot of people, and there's so much stigma.
Oh, God, you guys.
We've had a lot of variety and experience, though, which is kind of nice between the four of us.
Oh, definitely.
Like, deciding to go to grad school and, like, when we decided to do it and stuff. Yeah. So that's, we can offer some different perspectives.
For real.
For sure.
For real.
It really depends.
Mm-hmm.
There's no right way.
There definitely is no right way.
There's no schedule you need to
We all took very different paths, and then the cosmos aligned themselves, and we ended up here at the exact right time to create this podcast for all of
you. To be here right now.
So.
'Twas ordained.
Exactly. But grad school. Let's just maybe focus on grad school. What's Oof. Everyone's experience been like? What do you got to say?
Oh, man.
Okay.
It's a hard time to ask that question.
God, it is. You know, and this is, you know,
I'm trying to, like, remove myself.
I'm in despair. It's good that we're recording this episode right now, because I feel like you guys are going to get, like, a real,
honest
opinion about what grad school is like. I don't know. It depends. A, we can really only speak to a 2-year terminal MA program.
Yeah.
So that right off the bat, if you decide to pursue a higher degree in art history, you're going to have to decide MA PhD or just MA. You can do the PhD later.
And before you continue, I'm going to just go ahead and say you should do the MA first.
Oh, Lord.
I'm just going to say it's fucking worth it.
Unless art history is, like, your passion and you've known that you wanted to be, like, a professor since you were 17 years old. Mm-hmm. There are people like that. Some of our professors are like that. Unless that's the case and you have a really good grasp on all of what a PhD program in art history is going to entail, especially for art history, because, like, the thing about art history, from my perspective, is it's made up of a lot of masochists. So when you look at PhD programs in the humanities for other fields, they're like 5-6 years. The average for art history is 8 to 10 years. Now, that's dependent on, like, how quickly you work. I'm not saying this to, like, freak you out, like, oh, God, I wanted to be Dr. Jessica Jones. But
hope we have a listener
you
named
can
Jessica
be
Jones.
Dr.
Right
Jessica
now.
Jones.
You can be Dr. Jessica Jones. just like, if you have any doubts, or if you know that you want to go to more school for art history, but you're not sure if you want to commit that long of a chunk of time to art history, then it is a good idea to go into a master's program. Now, the flip argument of that, because, like, obviously we're biased. We're in a master's program. I remember when I was starting to apply and I talked to this woman that had gone to the same college as me for undergrad and was in a PhD program. And she told me the opposite, saying, like, obviously I'm biased. I'm in a PhD program. I came right into this. But you get more funding, and it's not as expensive, and you have kind of more time to sort through things, whatever else she said. She was very helpful. No knock to her. But anyways, yes, take it with that in mind that we are biased, but it is a good kind of halfway point to figure out, is this something that I want to continue to do? Is this something that I need a break after I do this, or is this something that, like, I'm good, I'm going to see how I do in the job world and never go back to school again, which is fine.
Yeah, and the beauty of a terminal MA is you have that option. You go to your MA, you do 2 years, you work your ass off, you get your degree, which has plenty of merit. Like, getting an MA in art history can get you some legit jobs. Like, it's not a throwaway degree by any means. In the art world, you can do a lot with that. And then you can keep going if you want to be Dr. Jessica Jones. Like, it's not over. Like, you go to a PhD program after that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're probably more prepared for it, because
and you'll get through it faster, ideally.
Exactly. Yeah. So you still have that option. The thing that is good about the MA is you get to continue in this art history world. You get to really hone your skills. You get to really understand it. But you also have the option of doing something else. And I think, like, kind of piggybacking off what Ginny said, before deciding to do a PhD, like, you kind of have to say to yourself, like, I could not be happy doing anything else.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you like step back and go like, I would be really happy doing, I don't know, who knows, maybe you were a kindergarten teacher for a while and you like really liked it, you know, like if you could be happy doing that, then you have to think really long and hard about going into a PhD. Not trying to say not like don't do it, but it's just like, it's the type of thing that it needs to literally be all you can see yourself doing to go, especially to go straight into it.
Yeah.
To do it right away. Because if you do the MA, you still have the option later.
Well, and you're not saying that from a judgmental place, too. You're saying it from, we've all thought about that because we have exactly. all considered it. So
exactly.
We just know that it's something that takes thought and, yeah, it's a thoughtful decision. And if it's not... You're going to be miserable. Like, yeah. You will be. Yeah. You will yeah. be unhappy. It's yeah. not something that is fun. I don't think anyone does it because it's fun.
No.
I've yet to meet someone who did it because they just thought it would be a fucking
in a blast. Weird way, it kind of, that was kind of my MA, but I don't think I'd go into a PhD program that way. But I did, I was like, yeah, I'll just keep doing art history school. Mm. Like,
yeah.
I was like, and at the time I applied to this program, I was working at a fucking ski resort as a bartender. It's mm. like, yeah, I'm just gonna do art history school. Like, I'm just gonna,
ski corn. I like that it's art history school.
Right? Yeah, art history so
like,
school.
I was like,
the
making...
air was really thin up there, guys.
Oh, yeah.
I was like making was my good. Like I was making my like hot buttered rums and like ooh. And people like rich ass people yeah. would be like what are you doing here? What's your thing? And I was like, I'm gonna go to art history school. And
well, you know, okay, so what's beautiful about art history school is that
please remind me.
I want to remind you. You know, art history school. Goddamn. What is beautiful about art history school? So here's the beauty. You can graduate. I know. That was a long buildup. You can graduate in 2 years and you basically have a bitchin' writing sample.
Yeah. Truth.
And
truly bitchin'.
That, it is so bitchin'. It was your master's thesis. And this piece of writing can get you into a really good PhD program and can get you a lot of funding. And you can get out of your PhD program fast because maybe you didn't have to spend a bunch of time TAing. Because maybe you just got a bunch of fellowships and stipends. Mm-hmm. Or maybe, you know, you're able to get into a really, really, really good program that, like, facilitates you graduating faster mm-hmm. because you have already this leg up among fellow applicants.
Yeah.
Where you mm-hmm. have this piece of writing that's been polished, it's been looked at, usually by at least 3 professors, and you've been obsessing over it for a year, as opposed to how many of us apply to a master's program mm-hmm. with usually a writing sample from something that we did in undergrad.
Yeah. Yeah. Which you know, was garbage.
My undergrad paper. My undergrad paper that got me into this program should not have gotten me into this program. I mean, it wasn't like horrible.
It was garbage
though. Yeah. It just wasn't that good.
There were some good ideas in there, but yeah, it was like garbagey. Like it was like not.
I mean, we also should like give a disclaimer that we are being like heavily criticized yeah. in every manner right now. Yeah. So of course we're gonna call anything that we did before this time garbage.
But the cool thing,
I'm gonna go home tonight and look at what I wrote earlier today and be like, this is garbage.
My thesis draft was quote unquote thesis called
crap.
My thesis.
That's what he said. That's what he said.
Down my lisp. Anyway, it was literally quoted as, this is a mess. Yeah.
Oh, baby.
Yeah.
I'm yeah, sorry. So if you go no in, if you go into grad school, not even just art history, I think this happens across the board. If you go into grad school, you're probably going to run into some overly critical bitches. And you
especially
just,
with all that estrogen, man.
Yeah, you just gotta, like, you just gotta not take it personally. Yeah. That's one thing I've learned in grad school. Yeah. Is, like, you have to decide.
You just have to get a thick skin.
You do. You have to get a thick skin. And you also have to realize, like, just because a professor said something, that doesn't make it right. Like,
it's
they're
true.
Not fucking
very
Jesus
true.
Christ. Like, they,
and
just
you know
because
what?
They.
Jesus probably got some things wrong. Okay. So. Yeah.
So, let's be real. but for real, though, like, so so you, one thing that's been great about grad school for me personally is learning, like, before grad school, there was a desire to just, like, please everyone and want to be a really model student. And it's, like, you get to grad school and you learn you're not going to please everyone. Yeah. And that's okay.
If you please, like, two people, that's good. A success. Because yeah. you can write the same paper and have the same topic and get different responses yeah. just depending on... On the professor, yeah. truly, and especially when you get to people who are more specialized, because they're really, if we're going to be honest, most of them are really only interested in what they are interested in and yeah. in their research. Honestly. It's rare to find people who are still really curious and, like, really interested. Yeah. There are not many, and the one of the few I can think of right now is a man, and so in our program, those are hard to come by. Aww. But, like...
And that's another thing you have to take into consideration, which with going further with academia, whether it's an MA, PhD, and it's something, because all of us, we kind of touched on it before, but all of us at one point were planning on going on a PhD yeah. programs. And all of us, it's open, it could happen,
yeah.
but none of us are doing it next year.
Nope.
So, like, it's very much like, you know, our minds have changed over time, but one thing you have to be really aware of in academia is, like, it's real easy to get bogged down in your own research
yeah.
and to think for some reason what you're writing is the most important thing in the world. And I'm just gonna, like, all my academics out there, it's not, like, whatever you're writing, it's not that important. It's probably cool, but it's not that fucking important. You know what yeah. I mean?
You're not the shit. Yeah. So, you know.
We're all writing shit that we think is, like, super important. And then you, like, have that day where you're like, this actually isn't that important, though.
Yeah. Like, it's yeah, just. Yeah, like, Q crisis.
Yeah. Because it's just not. So, big piece of advice I would say with going further in academia, grad school, I don't know, all the way professor level, if you're doing research, stop thinking what you're doing is that fucking important, because it's just
it not. Sounds like it would make you depressed to think that way, but it does it the opposite.
Yeah.
To remind yourself that it's not important makes you feel, like, more confident and more comfortable with what you're doing, because if you put that pressure on it to be something that matters, quote unquote, then you get crippled.
Exactly. And I was definitely the type of person, when I came into this program, I don't know, in the back of my head, I was going to solve all the problems of the
universe.
Well,
you're kind of on your way to doing that, so you're not a very good example, actually.
I know.
Your paper is very relevant and could actually, like, help bring to life some solutions.
I mean, maybe, but it's still not that important. Like, I mean, just because it's cool.
I get what you're saying.
Well, yeah, like, I thought, I came in thinking I was gonna fucking figure it out. Like, I was gonna figure everything out, because, like, it's just that big of a deal. And, like, you just get to a point where you're like, that's not going to happen, and that is okay.
Right. And a lot, like, of that, I feel like, is because what, especially, like, American society bases important research on is, like, you're going to cure a disease.
Yeah, exactly.
You're, you know, on par with the political events of what's going on, and you do, and all that is important. But I feel like what happens a lot of times is, like, importance is kind of equated with relevance. And that's where art history... We have this kind of tendency to defend ourselves, especially when you're doing research in art history that isn't actually contemporary. So, like, when we say it's not important, like, it is important in terms of just working on, like, educating myself when I'm writing for myself. And, like, I can talk about it to people, and occasionally you'll talk about it to someone who's, like, really interested in it. And that is important. It's not important in terms of it's... you know, not going to make some immediate change in the world. It's not going to be, like, broadcasted on news stations or whatever, but we don't need that shit. We didn't look for that shit anyways. We wouldn't be in art history if we were. Definitely it's good to kind of be like, my research is not the end all be all, but it still plays a part in, like, an important kind of aspect of, like, education and visual
and teaching us how to research yeah. and be interested in things and be curious, especially with a two-year program
right.
where
yeah.
we're not entrenched in one topic for a decade. I think that also kind of makes it easier to take the parts from this program that are applicable in anything else
yeah
for like, sure To kind of sum that idea up, and I'm gonna quote the great Mahatma Gandhi.
Oh,
please. And it was also quoted in a fucking movie with Robert Pattinson, but,
That's weird.
I know, right? I actually just watched it recently. What was it called? It's about, It's about 9/11.
Remember Me.
Remember Me.
Does he do an American accent?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Does he do a good job?
Yeah, he's fine.
He's not.
It's corny, but I loved that movie when I was younger.
Okay, I watched it for the first time like last week. There were moments, so much of it I hated. Like so much, I was like, this could have been done so well. But there are things about it that are really interesting. I think that's what makes me mad about the movie. It could have been really fucking good.
Like the plot,
it could have been really good.
What's the quote?
Just going off on a Robert Pattinson tangent. Okay. So, anyways, the quote is: "Whatever you do will be insignificant, but it's very important that you do it."
There we go.
I like that.
And that
what took Gandhi few words took me a million words.
And that's what it is. It's like, yeah, you should still fucking do it. I'm not trying to discourage you from doing it.
Yeah.
I also just think part of being an adult is realizing it doesn't fucking matter. But you need to do it, though.
Yes.
Like, you just because it doesn't matter, you still need to do that shit.
Do the thing.
You need to do the thing. Because not doing the thing, that's suicide. Like, you need to do the thing.
I was just listening to a podcast where, they were interviewing someone, and it was a musician, and they were saying how, like, people who write songs a lot of times, and especially songs that are based on their life, like, they don't do it for any other reason than, like, they couldn't survive if they didn't.
Exactly.
Like, that it's a survival method that you have to, that you have this thing inside of you. And I think a lot of artists across the board, music or otherwise,
creative
would
people.
Relate to this, that you do it because there's something that needs to come out and you have to do it. It's not a cry, and especially in modern contemp art and stuff, people try and act like, you know, it's a cry for attention, or like there's all these like subtexts that are just dumb. But like it's a true impetus that people can't explain. You have to.
Yeah. No, for sure. Because going back to super chill ski resort bartender Corey, it was a great time in my life. It was like really chill. It was super fun. I met some of the coolest people, and I loved it, but I was really excited to go to art history school.
Yeah.
Because it was going to fulfill something in my soul that needed to come
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
And that's, at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
Dude, you got to follow that feeling. Like, if you are compelled to, like, go on, like, a program or apply to grad, like, you should do it. Unless
or
you're,
do
like,
any
yeah. whatever it is. It doesn't have to be art history.
No,
or,
yeah, of course.
I don't know. I have the same feelings. Like, I took a big break between undergrad and my program. Like, and big break was 4 years, and 4 years doesn't sound like a very long time, but it is.
A lot can
like,
happen in 4 years.
4 years was crazy times for me, and I was like I was just out there, and I was working a 9-to-5, and when I wasn't at work, I was just doing whatever the fuck. I don't know what I was doing. I was partying, I was, like, going to metal shows, and I was just like, and then, like, at some point, I realized, like,
what these earlier versions of yourselves, and I wish
real.
I knew that.
I mean, you guys think I'm wild now, like, you don't even know what my 20s were like, and so I was just being wild a lot, and I just thought at some point, I don't want to be working in a lab for the rest of my life. Because that's what I was doing. I had a good job in the sense that my job mattered. I make sure that your food isn't covered in poison. That's a good
that's
job.
Fucking
that's
important.
That's a very practical
yeah, like,
job.
You know, you guys
I appreciate that you do that for me.
Yeah, like, I'm like, hey, this shit came over from Rwanda, and I want to make sure that there isn't poison all over it, because we import stuff, and it's, like, a big deal. So I felt like I had an important job, but it was the kind of job that I could go home and clock out, and then go be my crazy
Dude,
self.
Dude, and that's, like, a good feeling. Like,
it
I,
is a good
there's
feeling.
A part of me that definitely misses those moments where it's like, yeah, I gotta get up and I gotta be at work at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
And I gotta do it all day. And sometimes I work double shifts.
Do my goddamn job.
I gotta do my thing. I gotta deal with customers and drunk people, and I gotta work hard.
Yeah.
But you know, at the end of it, I clock out, I take my fucking tips, and I leave.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't have to think about this until my next shift. And that's
really
a good feeling.
And
that's a good feeling.
I enjoyed that a lot. But you know what? 4 years later, I was really starting to feel like, well, you know, I've kind of stopped getting raises. I still was getting raises, but they were very small. And I was like, can I really live like this for the rest of my life? And, you know, the job is dangerous. Mm-hmm. It's a dangerous ass job. Like, it's in a lab and we work with all kinds of crazy chemicals and stuff could just blow up and I could just die. And so it was dangerous. And so I really did have that feeling like I need to do something more. I have a brain that wants to do things and I should like explore that.
Yeah.
And so if you have feelings about like pursuing a higher education, even if it isn't in a program, you know, you should do it, because if you are not content, if you're doing the same thing every day and you do have that feeling like I'm supposed to be doing something more,
yeah,
then go for it. And that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is.
Exactly.
You know?
I feel like a lot of people ignore when their brains want to do higher things. It's like, you can't. That's like our lifeblood.
Yeah.
Like that is what life is. Like I don't know. I'm getting kind of sentimental, but it's real. Like that is what life is at the end of the day. When you're on your deathbed, you're going to ask yourself if you followed those desires.
Yeah.
Like, and that is what's important, that you're challenging yourself, that you're growing, that you're changing, that you're not just staying in the same job because it's comfortable.
If you rest, you rust. And that is real.
Whoa.
Yeah. I saw that on the back of a senior citizen's Subaru at the co-op. And I was like, girl, that is so true. I'm serious. It was a bumper sticker. But what I'm trying to say is that, like, if you're in your...
That's the kind of senior citizen I want to be.
Yeah. If you're 50... or above, and you have feelings about wanting to go and get your master's, do it. There's a girl in our program who is in her 50s, and she has a teenage daughter who sounds amazing. I want to meet her.
Yeah.
But our program mate is just so awesome. And
she's
we
so
love
cool,
her.
You guys. She like, is. She is the coolest woman, and she's like
from Italy,
and she went to Burning Man, and like she's
one of my favorite quotes from her in talking about us writing our thesis. She was like, "I would rather give birth again than write this thesis," and I was like, "Shit."
Honestly, no,
like,
I know.
Damn.
I know we have some like older listeners out there, which we like mad appreciate. Like that's so great. Like, if you want to go back to school, do it. Like,
or even just go to take the classes if you don't care about the degree. You can
audit that
things.
Shit.
I love having, like, adults in classes who audit because they're curious and they want to be there.
They're usually not the best students.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, like, they're curious. They want to know. They want to learn. It's such an active choice, which you get with some undergrads.
Oh,
but
definitely.
Not all of them.
But, like, there's a stigma, and I understand being, like, afraid of it, but, like, coming from our perspective as people in their 20s in grad school, we all have mad respect for the 50-year-old woman in our program. Like, she is amazing. Like,
yeah, she
so
is responsible for another human.
Yeah.
Like
I can't imagine. And she's doing what we're doing.
I can't even take care of myself.
So, like. if you are in some way, like deterred from higher education for that reason, you shouldn't be, because I promise you the younger people in your program have so much respect for you.
Yeah.
They just do. Like it's a badass move, and like you should take it, because I think there's nothing cooler than people like redoing or like rebranding themselves in their like 50s. Like
I want
to
do
living.
That.
I'm living
in
there. I plan to do that.
Yeah.
Like I don't know, like when I'm in my 50s, if I decide I want to be like a geneticist, like that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm gonna be a ceramicist when I'm in my 50s.
Ooh, right.
I'm gonna make like huge coil pots.
Yes.
And just...
Me too. I'm gonna have like and I'm gonna have crazy long.
Yeah. I'm gonna have fucking dreadlocks.
Yeah. I'm gonna have crazy long gray hair, and I'm gonna read tarot cards. And
you're basically just gonna
you're
shifting
just
your life as a witch.
With gray hair. Oh, shit. We're about to break the fucking table.
Yeah, right? No, but I'm going to get, like, real witchy is basically the plan. Like, that is my, like, when I think about myself in my 60s, I'm just going to get real witchy with things. Like, I'm just going to go full force.
I can't wait. I feel like you would do really well to join, like, a cover band.
Yeah.
On a tambourine.
Yes.
Like, I think that would be that a good, great. Like, retirement move for you.
Learn,
where you, like, hoop. You could be, like, reformer.
I want to do that, like, now. Like, that's,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, but that's like now you would do it, like, in a little more of a contemporary sense. And then later on, you would do it for the cover bands.
That's, like, literally, like, a backup plan. I'm like, so, okay, so we got the podcast. We're going to figure out a way to make money off that. Maybe people start paying me to, like, hoop at shows. Like, those are, like, my life plans.
I pay you. Like, if I just was a babe with money, I'd just be like, yeah.
I literally.
Corey, I'm turning 40. Come hoop at my party.
Yeah.
I learned.
Crazy party when I turned 40, so. Y'all are invited.
All of you.
All 10,000.
All 10,000 of you are invited.
Everyone come to my 40th birthday party. It's in 12 years.
TBA on location.
12 years. 12 years. Oh, shit. 12 years.
Oh, shit.
That's, oh. Shit's gonna be.
We're all realizing. No. Oh, Ginny's face right now.
She's having a moment.
So we went far
we've
left.
We've gone so many directions tonight. It's been really fun. This has actually been a really fun episode.
It's such a good episode.
It's a good episode. I hope you guys enjoyed as much as we enjoy recording it. But in terms of, okay, so grad school, like, if you got to do it, you should definitely do it. Like, don't want to deter anyone from doing it because we got really lucky and we found each other and it was like even if going forward I don't do a PhD and even if I like go into a completely different field, like, this needed to happen. So like, if it's what you need to do, just do it. Whatever happens after that happens after that.
And that goes for anything, you know, not even art history grad school, just for whatever. Maybe we're not knocking scientists. Like, if that's your jam, go back to school for that. Like,
regardless, you may just meet, like, the coolest people.
Exactly. And you may end up with a podcast.
I met somebody. I feel like I've met, like, my golden girl, you know? Because I've been watching Hella Golden Girls.
Yeah, you have.
I really am. Yeah. I snap about it.
You
all
said
the
that
time.
Really emotional one last night.
Know.
It was a deep episode.
Dude, sometimes
like.
I get really deep.
We are going to be like the golden girls.
We're
gonna That's
like,
going to happen.
Thank you for being a friend.
We're going to be still recording this Travel when we're like hella old. Like, as old
again.
People, it's going to be really cute. So, like, don't forget about us.
don't you? Okay.
But I feel like just trying, I'm trying to be, like, pragmatic. What are a few more just, like...
Make friends. It's important. Make sure that you still maintain some semblance of a social life and that you make time to do fun shit and see other places and kind of get out of the bubble of wherever you go
have
to grad school.
Have multiple bubbles.
Yeah.
And bubbles
It
are,
really,
yeah.
really helps. Oh, it really does.
Do not try to not... make an arch enemy, but if you do, just be very, like, cool and coy and, like, just be the bigger person all the time. I'm just speaking from what it would feel like. I don't have an arch enemy. It's been great, but I just know that those things happen.
Those things do happen.
And if you find yourself in a situation where you are, like, in a serious rivalry with somebody, just always be very, like, like
be very Michelle Obama.
Blink a lot and like just be
don't get competitive because the thing is like
don't.
Getting competitive all that does is suggest that there is some part of you that feels you need to be competitive
which
and
is insecurity.
It's insecurity. So if you're not competitive and you're just
Word.
If you're just feeling what you're doing, you end up looking way better. There's no weird tension. Mm-hmm. The whole thing's better. So don't get competitive.
And the other person who's trying to be competitive with you will waste so much energy trying to get you to compete and failing.
So
and it'll be
weird.
It'll be like a funny little sitcom in the background of your life.
They just they just look mad dumb.
Yeah. It's like... so dumb. If you're insecure, just deal with that shit in a constructive manner. Okay? Just
fucking deal with it.
Because honestly, like
hold it in like the rest of us.
You know, all of us have obviously, levels of insecurity, that's a natural human feeling. But if you're an insecure person, just deal with it on your own and don't expect. expect other people to give a shit about your constant insecure feelings, because no one will care and you're going to be in a bad way.
I think so at the end of the day, what I mean, I feel like what we all try and live and rep and like our whole thing is like, just own your own life. Like, just fucking own it. Yeah. It's your life. Literally, it's just your life. Like, don't do anything because anyone else tells you to. Don't make any big decisions because anyone else tells you to, or anyone else thinks it's a bad decision, or it's not pragmatic, or whatever. Who cares? Like, it's your time. It's your, it's how you use your existence. Like, just do it and own it, and then do the next thing. Like, that's really what it comes down to, I think.
I almost feel like a lot of the advice that we're giving people doesn't make sense right now because they're not in it. So if you're hearing this and you're not in a grad program, you're probably like, what the fuck are they talking about? Like, why are they saying all this? But trust me, this is real, and it will, like,
I feel like
it
could
listen
translate.
To it again.
Listen, I feel
to
like, a lot of, like, I don't other know, yeah, exactly. I feel like we're being very, like,
I hope so.
Vague and,
I hope
like,
so.
Yeah, and
I don't
and,
even know.
I don't know.
I think we stopped talking about art history a long time ago.
I think
our personal politics.
If someone has serious questions about like applying to a program or like really actual more like concrete questions, then let us know. We could do like a way shorter episode on that.
I mean, applying to a program, it's basically just do your best at everything they need from you, obviously. Try and give them a really good writing sample. Try and make sure you've got some stellar recommendation letters. Like, make sure ask professors that like you for recommendation letters, because they will write you a bomb letter. Like, they want you, you know. So just ask good professors for recommendation letters.
Oh,
that's huge.
Be known as the undergrad.
Yeah.
So that the professor can
actually
say some, like, actual shit about you, not just
professors.
Yeah, exactly.
And make your intentions known. If you're an undergrad and you want to do grad school, like, be like, I'm on this path, and more likely than not, the professor's going to take you under their wing and be like, oh, this is one of my people, you know? So,
professors live for that shit.
Yeah, exactly. So make that shit known. You know, do your best on your GRE, but don't stress about it. It's not that big of a deal.
So bad. I found out I had to do it, like, 2 days before the due date, so I didn't study, and I went after, like, a full day of class and work, and I just, it was bad.
Just do your best. It's fine.
It was bad.
It's fine.
And I still made it.
Yeah, exactly. Try and be really pointed in your, like, the whole, like, why am I applying to this program? Try and be interesting, I guess. I mean, I feel like that stuff is just any application process.
Yeah,
like,
applications suck. And they always will.
Exactly.
You feel like a show pony.
Yes.
And
it's the
worst.
And
a stage mom all at once.
But once you
sucks.
Send them all in, I remember, like, when I had applied for all my grad programs, and I was living in a different city with friends from college who weren't applying at the time for grad school, and I would just have to, like, not go out sometimes, and then I'd be like, I'm done, bitches. And I went and had some, like, really delicious tapalaya, which was, like, basically a restaurant of Cajun and tapas food. It was delicious.
That sounds amazing.
Dude, I had, once again, I keep coming back to it. Ski resort bartender Corey was applying to grad school.
I wish I'd have known you.
I mean, I can make it happen again. It's fine.
You've been doing body shots.
Shots.
Is there also a thing where you do, like, ski shots? Is that what?
Shot ski.
Oh, wait. Someone. You're right. No, you're right. Where you put shot glasses on a ski.
I've never done it.
Oh, you haven't?
You stand side by side.
Mm-hmm. You feel like
and you all do it all together.
Yeah.
That's
you can fit like four or five on a ski.
But I did it one time.
I did.
Well, shot skied.
I still love myself.
Shot skied. But yeah, I was applying to grad programs while I was there, and I worked my ass off, like, getting shit in on time. I, like, applied to this program, like, an hour before it was due. I got it all done, and I, like, worked my ass off, and then I went to a party in a fucking, like, gorgeous, like, ski chalet, and everyone was just like, you know, they're just living. They were it was like a 1980s like ski resort movie.
That's,
you know,
that reminds me of, have you seen that episode of It's Always Sunny?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's so real, you guys. Like, that is ski culture, and I love it. But, like, I'm not even a skier, but I just, like, got to, like, watch all of this. But, yeah, and so, like, I did my thing, and then I, like, went to the party, and I got to be part of that, and so, like, the whole, I don't know, like, do your thing, but you can be a part of other stuff, too. You don't have to just be an art historian. Yeah. Like,
we all have lives outside of this.
Yeah, you can, like, you can have other experiences that, you know, you might come to grad school and people will be like, that's weird that you did that. And you're like, okay. And then that's that.
I know. I just found out that the lead singer of this extreme death metal band that I'm really into got his fucking master's in anthropology.
Dope.
Is that the lead singer from Nile?
No.
Oh, that would be too perfect.
No, he's an Origin.
Oh.
Cool name.
He's
Origin.
He's very cute. I'm gonna see him tomorrow.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna be like, hey.
But yeah, so at the end of the day, like, we all love art history and we love art and we love the arts and we love expression of humans in artistic ways, but we also just have regular lives. And so
we're just regular Joes.
Yeah. So I mean, if you decide this is the path you wanna go on, like, you just kind of, you just have to go with it. And and we're very, like, let's be real. We're out here on the West Coast. We're totally rocking those West Coast, like, let's just go with the flow vibes. Like, that's very, like, a thing that, like,
embody. Forgot about that.
I know, because we're all from the West Coast. We're like, that's just what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the outsider.
Corey's not, though. Corey's,
you fit in very well.
See, that's why you Corey do. Even notices that this is a thing, because we would not. We're just like, this is just the way people
I
are.
I forget you're not from.
Yeah, I have an outside eye, and I like it here for that reason. But West Coast vibes are a very real thing, and
cool.
People in other places aren't always so, like, it just is what it is. Like,
what did they say?
This isn't what it is.
Well,
I don't want it to be this way. I don't. You hoser, that's a kid.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Canada.
So that is probably coming through in all of this, are like trying to be chill about things, but I also think that that's just a way healthier way to like approach life. Like, do your work and do it, but you need to just like be chill too.
It comes back to you reminding people that it's not as important as we would like to believe.
Exactly.
Sometimes, you know, it's all tied up in the same idea. Just don't take anything too seriously.
For real, though.
Don't let it be your life, because this isn't your life. This is just a part of your life.
Yeah.
You know? I think a lot of, especially, you know, once you reach that professor level, I feel like everything about who you are is, I'm a professor, I'm a professor, I'm a professor.
And I also think
that's something that deters me, kind of.
Exactly.
Truly, is seeing how people kind of lose their identity, or you can tell that that was their identity to start.
Yeah.
That they either had,
yeah,
they were the type of person that belonged in that role, or they slowly became that role. Like, it's hard
Who's
to tell.
To say?
Who's to say? But no, yeah, the whole thing, yeah, like, in some way it kind of deters me, but it's the, like, I think moving forward just in academia, we're all going to be better off if people stop taking themselves so seriously. You know what I mean? So I mean this in like a way bigger sense than art history. It's like, I think we're all going to be better off as a society if we just stop. Like, we live in a crazy age of information. We have it all at our fingertips all the time. Like, there's no reason to take yourself so seriously. And I think that we're at a weird transition period just in history right now. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that in 100 years, this period is a big transition. It's like the Industrial Revolution. Mm-hmm. Like, that's happening right now, you know? It's like a big transition period. And I think, and you can take it or leave it, whatever, but I just think academia will be a lot better off if people stop losing their identities in it, or stop, you know, like, you need to be a human that's also interested in XYZ, you know, instead of just being a person that's like,
be multifaceted. Like,
yeah,
that's okay. It's okay to be balanced. It's, and don't let people make you feel bad for not devoting your whole life to one thing.
Yeah, for real. Like
that's dumb, and it needs to stop.
Yeah, and we're past
it. You heard it here.
You heard it. Here first, folks.
Yeah.
Our history.
Stop it. Shit's dumb. Oh, Lordy. Okay, we've been talking for forever.
Well, like, 15 minutes is already cut, and other stuff's going to get cut. So, because we had that huge break. Where we
so you guys might not quite be sick of us yet, but getting close.
Well,
I don't know.
To recap, grad school. All right, so undergrad. Major in art history. If you are finding that you're doing very well in art history and you're having a very good time doing art history, major in art history. If you decide that you want to go on to a grad program, think about an MA as opposed to a PhD.
Yeah.
Because you want to give yourself options. Don't commit for a long time, preferably just because, you know, we're young people, and we shouldn't be committing to shit for a really long time. You never know what's going to happen.
And that's just a problem our generation has. That's anyway. Just real. We just can't do that. We're just like, nah.
It's
like,
too long, though.
There's so too many options.
Commitment phobes.
Yeah. I know. But you know what? Like, just think about it.
Well, know yourself. If you are a commitment phobe, then don't commit to something like that.
There's so many options in the world. Like, it's just,
consider them all.
You know, and so if you end up where we are, at the moment, we're so up. Oh, we're just so high up right now in our stress castle. But if you find yourself in the stress castle, don't take yourself so seriously, okay? Like, it'll be okay. You'll get it done. You don't have to change the fucking world.
You're smart and beautiful.
You is smart. You is important. You matter.
Okay, you went off the.
I know, but
off script.
I know. I'm just.
I'm pretending that you guys are talking to me right now.
I'm just so zany.
I really need this. I'm like,
right?
I'm so zany and off the cuff.
You are.
Oh my god.
If you so zany, she's so crazy.
Shira Corey is here to stay.
If you decide to go to art history school, just make sure that you don't take yourself so seriously, and like, you're gonna be okay.
And here's your drink.
Yeah. Body shots.
shots. God, this is such a goofy episode.
I don't have anything left to say.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed it. I don't know that we really got into a lot of detail, but
but if you want to hear it, request it.
Honestly, you guys, for real, this episode was for us. If you're listening and you enjoy it, then I'm so happy, and I feel like you really care about us. But
and you know us a little better than you did before.
This episode was for us, so I hope you enjoyed. But we had a really good time.
Oh man,
yeah.
I mean, that's about
it.
Yeah,
what more is there to say?
There really isn't much more to say. We're on another level tonight. So, I mean, some of you, I hope, stuck with us. But thanks for listening.
We love you.
We love you. We'll be back with, you know, our more typical vibe. But, I don't know, I feel like we should do these every once in a while.
Yeah, it's nice. This
is fun. Let us know what you think. Some people just like ridiculousness, and I jive with those people, but if you're like, I want serious stuff, then we'll balance it out.
We'll warn you in the description which one it is.
This one is silly.
This is goofy. But it's
the word of the night, zany.
Those zany art history babes.
Oh, I really hope that shows up in a review.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, man. But thank you all for listening. This was hella fun for us, so hopefully that translated. Hopefully you're having a nice 420 out there and, like, celebrating however you need to, however that
is. Dude, you know what sucks is they're not going to hear it on 420.
I know.
Isn't that nice? But I hope you had a nice 420.
Exactly, and I hope when you listen to this, it reminds you of what a good time you had.
Yeah.
Have a great Earth Day.
Oh, yeah, Earth Day is a thing,
that's
too.
Coming up.
That's my brother's birthday.
Earth Day is a solid day.
Earth Day birthday.
Oh.
Isn't that cute? That was one of his birthday parties one year. We went to a place where they had, like, rescue animals and stuff, and the kids got to, like, see him. And we called it the Earth Day birthday.
That is so precious.
Oh, my God.
That just, like, my heart is warm.
Yeah.
Earth Day birthday.
Anyway, birthday. All right, you guys. I hope you have a great night.
We did it. We did it.
Have a good time.
Bye. Have a good time.
From Cabernet to Mollet, they're here to slay the art history babes.
I was thinking, like, I'm gonna just be a lone wolf in a pack of bitches. And I was freaking out. And then I just, like, ended up
in a pack of bitches.
I know, this.